Vayashav HaMalach HaDover Bi. Remember, in the vision, he has an angel helping him out to figure out what these various visions mean. And he says, Vayi'ireni ki'ish asher ye'or mishnaso. If I have this in your dream, you feel tired. In your dream, you're sleeping. In a dream, you're in a state that makes you feel it's part of a dream. That's okay. You usually wake up shortly afterwards, right? Especially if it's a bad dream. And if it's a good dream, you say, no, let me stay here. I don't want to get up. This is so good. Right? Okay, so Vayomer Eli. Now, the state that he's in Pasuk Daled seems to indicate a desire to wake up. This is difficult for him, and he needs to put in an extra effort to continue this. Alright? What Zachariah is undergoing here is a formidable progression of events. Okay? He is unfolding history, and it's not a simple thing to do. The Emirah Eli, Ma Tzaroeh. And God asked me, what do you see? Okay?
God
Well, here it's angel. Eli, this is the angel said to him. Okay, Dora, how about if you start us off with Pasuk?
Vayomer Eli.
Vayomer Eli.
Vayomer. No, she's me.
Dora is me. Vayomer Eli. Vayomer Eli. Vayomer and Va'omer.
It's Va'omer.
Yeah, but why is it true?
The Kriyuk Sib.
Yeah. Raisi, he named Narasahav. Kulor, Haldoshur.
Okay, now, this is not only hard to fathom what on earth is he saying. I mean, there's so many different interpretations of what this is. Rashi just says it means that there is a menorah with seven receptacles. Everybody knows the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash has seven receptacles, right? But each receptacle has seven receptacles feeding into it. So what does this seem? What does this seem like to you? Okay, so it's a menorah with 56, because there's seven to start with, and then 49 plus 49. So what does it mean though? Why?
Okay.
Now what are those two? What are shnayim zeishim?
Olive trees. Two olive
trees. Each olive tree is feeding into one side of the menorah. Okay, one this way, one that way. With all these tubes going into the menorah, what picture do you get of this? Two olive trees which are
supplying the oil.
Yeah, there's a never-ending supply of oil to the menorah. Mm-hmm. Okay, even if someone thinks that the supply will end, now you see a gematria in this pasuk that has a remnant of Hanukkah. And this is a Sadigon likes to find any remnant of Hanukkah. Pasuk Beis. It's difficult. It's not just pasha to find, but when you get those little menorah boxes from the Tel Yeshiva or something, how many candles are in there?
44.
They're 44 because you need 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 44. So vigula, you see vigula there. Gula Rosha. The Gula is the gematria 44. 36. Okay. So that's the receptacle where all these lights come from has the numerical value of the amount of candles we have to light according to the Shita of Beisil or Beis Shammai, for that matter. Shammai goes 9, 7, 9, 8, 7, 6. But there's a much stronger remez to Hanukkah in this pasuk, is that in the pasuk Beis and Gimel, or red, is that it's talking about a supply of oil to the menorah that will never cease. So let's talk about why the Hanukkah story needed an 8-day miracle. Why didn't Hanukkah last, let's say, 37 days? I'll give you a very practical reason why it has to be 8. First of all, have you been to the Beis HaMikdash area lately? Do you know what this is? There's a big mountain right across about 200 yards away.
Southern Wall?
If the mountain is called based on something that grows there, familiar with it? Called Har HaZeitim, right? For goodness sakes, why didn't someone come up with the idea of going to Har HaZeitim and pulling off some olives and crushing new olive oil? So, the Ron asks this question, gives two answers. One, that it's very possible, I mean, it's hard to fathom that you had Har HaZeisim right there, and we're busy worrying about this miracle of 8 days. It says that the Romans destroyed everything. They burnt everything. Yes, that's around Second Teretz. Is that they were all Tumei Mason. Remember, the Beis Mikdash has not been working. So there's no Tumah. Right? There's no Paraduma. There's no red ash. They're red ashes. There's something much more important than pure oil is pure Beis Mikdash altogether, which needs pure people, which needs the ashes of the red ash. Which is the first thing they did upon kicking those Greeks out. And how many days do you need for the Tara?
Seven.
So you have 7 days. The eighth day, we're ready to. Now let's rush over and squeeze new oil. They had oil all over the place. It was just all tummy.
The oil
cannot be fixed once it's tummy. People can be fixed. You can make yourself tar. The oil was not good. They just found one cruise of oil that was good. Now you can argue that as soon as someone's tummy touched that oil, there was trouble, right?
Mm-hmm. Now also.
Right. So now comes in a topic that says that Tumah Hutra B'tzibur, you know, that you're allowed to do things in Tumah in the Beis HaMikdash if everybody's tummy. You learn that from Korban Pesach, right? So why didn't anyone think of this, for goodness sakes? So, all right, there are two theories into this. One is that that's the whole essence of Hanukkah and Chinuch, for that matter, is that they didn't want to cut corners. They wanted to do everything like he did. It's a hit or mitzvah, so to say. The second theory is that what might be more appropriate for instance, that Pnei Yeshua's Kasha is that only Tumas Mace is Hutra B'tzibur. Tumas Mace, the death defilement, is Hutra B'tzibur. You're allowed to use in the Beis Mikdash. But there are other types of Tumah that not necessarily are Hutra B'tzibur. And it looks like in the Gemara in Shabbos that talks about what the Greeks did, is that the problem wasn't Tumas Mace, the problem was Tumas Abod Zorah. They brought in their idols into the temple and the pigs and everything, and that brings its own Tumah, which is not necessarily Hutra B'tzibur. Okay, let's go back to our vision of two trees feeding oil into these 49 receptacles, and seven of each of which is going into one of the receptacles of the base of the menorah. So now, here is some of the proof that we say that Zechariah is really, really such a difficult book because the author himself wasn't really clear about what was going on. So you'll read Dalet and see what's going on with that.
Va'an v'omar el malach hadaber b'lemor. Ma ila adoni.
So, as Ibn Ezra says, Zechariah knew there was some significance to what he was seeing. He just didn't know what it was. Zechariah is asking the angel, what is this vision? What's the nature and the significance of this vision? Read one more.
V'yan ha-malach hadaber bi v'yomar elai. Halei adata mahim ha-eile. V'omar lo adoni.
Why do we have this pasuk? Why didn't we just go right into pasuk 12?
Right.
The angel who was talking to me said, "Surely you know what this is. Don't you know what this is, Zechariah? Halo yadata mahema ela? All these things, hema ela, v'omar lo adoni. I do not know. I mean, I just told you that, right? I'm asking you now. So, what does it mean? What's the significance of such a thing? Okay." Okay, so I don't know what this is. So let's see what the answer is, Alan. Pasuk Vav. Vayan.
Vayan vayomer Eli leimor. Zed devar Hashem el yud vavel leimor. Lo b'chayim v'lo b'kolah. Kiyin baruchi amar Hashem tzvav.
Let me tell you something. This just makes things more cryptic. What does this have to do with the menorah? I mean, he's looking at the menorah with the two trees feeding into it, right? Look, God is not asking him, can you see two trees, a menorah, and a bunch of tubes? That's not what God is asking him. I mean, it sounds like the first prophecy in Yirmiyahu. Remember that one? The very beginning of Sefer Yirmiyahu, after God touches his mouth and said, I have put the spirit of my spirit into your mouth. Now you can give prophecy. So Hashem says, and God showed Yirmiyahu an almond branch. I'm sorry. A club sprouting almonds. Ma tarare Yirmiyahu. Makel shaked ani roeh. Hey, cop to the roads. Good seeing, Yirmiyahu. Good seeing. Good form. What? I mean, Abravanel says, what? Anyone could see a club with almonds around it. It's that Yirmiyahu understood what it meant. The club is something that gives punishment. And almonds means shoked, means what in Hebrew?
Diligence.
To do something quickly. Kasher ani and shakadati. Right, which is why the almond is called a shoked to begin with, because it grows quickly, which we sing about on Tu B'Shvat, right? Mm-hmm. So then Hashem wants to bolster Yirmiyahu's confidence and gives him another vision. This time it's a pot bubbling towards the north, remember? Sir Nafoach ani roeh. And Yirmiyahu's 2 for 2. Hey, I like this game. Let's go on. You know, that's a triangle, and that's a boat, that's a tree. I mean, it's not just that Yirmiyahu saw the things. He interpreted them. Right? Hashem just says, hey, tafta liros. What is this? We're playing games here? We're playing identify that picture? Here, Zechariah is not just asked to identify the picture. He says, tubes, two trees, a menorah. Right? He's asked to do much more than that. But what does lo b'chayim v'lo b'koach kim bruchinu Hashem mean here? What is that? So, you know, there's...
You need both.
Correct, but there's so many different interpretations. I find Rashi to be so refreshingly simple in this. What does the Spirit of God have to do with this menorah? Rashi does talk about this continuity, that the Beis HaMikdash will get off the ground and stay that way, because, and this is an interpretation you probably wouldn't expect from Rashi, but because I have instilled my spirit into certain Goyish kings to allow you to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi does not have this as a reference to the Chanukah story. Rashi has this as a reference to the Persian kings, Daryavesh, Artaxasta, Koresh, who were very kindly disposed towards the Jewish enterprise of returning to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So Yirmiyahu says that, yes, the land will pursue you. You will not have to do something called Kibush Aretz the way Yoshua did. And that's exactly what happened. It's exactly what happened. And by Yesheni, we didn't fight a war to get back in. And he wrote this in the 1860s. The Malbim said, I predict that B'mher of Yomeinu, when Jews return to Israel, it will be done with the permission of the world. In other words, the world, whoever's governing that area at the time, will not be with the need to fight a war that we're going to go back in. And it came very close to that prophecy, right?
Well, you put it that way, you can say, we didn't have to fight to go in, we had to fight to keep it.
Right, no. Yeah, the UN did not declare the independence of Israel. We declared it. They recognized it. Right? So that's the side of the Malbim, which is what Rashi says here. However, Abravanel, who I've been quoting to often, of course takes this into the distant future, not like Rashi. Abravanel says that Lo b'chayav v'lo b'koach is a direct reference to the Hanukkah story. Right? What does this have to do with the vision before? So Abravanel says very simple. There will be a time where there will be an apparent cessation of the working of this particular part of the Mikdash, the menorah. Right? And by the way, when the menorah stopped working, the shulchan stopped working. They weren't producing 12 breads every Friday at that time. The mizbeach stopped working. They weren't bringing any sacrifices. They weren't doing any of that stuff. That's the great question of this whole Hanukkah story. What makes the menorah so special about the observance of Hanukkah more than the mizbeach? The mizbeach was also, the altar was also defiled, and the altar had to be rededicated. Right? The kior was defiled, and the kior had to be rededicated. Everything, every little part of the Beis HaMikdash was defiled and had to be rededicated. So what is it about the menorah that makes this the Hanukkah essence? And the answer is this prophecy. So, but I think that there's an aspect of Pasuk Vav that we certainly do not want to miss is the word Chayil. Is that the Hanukkah story also involved a war?
Yeah.
I wouldn't interpret Chayil there as war.
Yeah.
Eshes Chayil doesn't mean a woman of war. It means a woman of valor.
Okay.
I think Chayil is in that sense.
Mm-hmm. Don't forget it says Koach. I mean, I think Lo B'Chayla V'Lo B'Gvura, Targum says. So, because Other than this, I don't really have an aspect of this prophet that engages in war. I mean, I have a Hitbolalut aspect, an assimilationist aspect, I have the menorah, and I have a battle where Ruach defeats Chayil and Koach. I mean, for goodness sakes, how could Zechariah know what this is talking about? How could anyone before the Chanukah story know what this is talking about?
Chayil mean different things in different places, right?
That is true. Dora just mentioned that. That is true. But together with Koach, you know. Okay, let's see what else has happened. Miyatahara gadol ifnei zubavel lemishor. This pasuk is actually really much simpler than it looks. What large mountain might stand in the way of Zerubbabel? Let it be a Mishor. Mishor is flatland. Mm-hmm. Like Yashar. Straight.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, so I would put Har Gadol here, impediments. Is that what you have? You have impediments there? Mm-hmm. Probably large mountain.
Wait.
7.
Right. It says, who art thou, great mountain, before Zerubbabel become a plain? And he shall produce the headstone.
It's very clear that the pshat of this means to say, whatever impediments may stand in the way of Zerubbabel shall be straightened out. Right. Now, you know, the author of Moses Tzur saw Zerubbabel as, you know, he put Zerubbabel at the end of one of the stanzas, but that's before the Hanukkah story, of course. Case Bavel, Zerubbabel, Case Shivim no Shashi. But the, you see, Zerubbabel at this time is really a Mechusa Koach. He doesn't have the strength, the power.
What?
He does not wield Mechusar, means he's missing Koach. He doesn't have the power to enact these things. Right? So Zerubbabel, it's not Michael and Koach that is going to happen. It's the Ruach of Hashem that I will in spirit into Koresh and Daryovesh. That's the Rashi now. So, Abravanel understands Zerubbabel actually to be, whatever messianic or kingly figure in the future is named Zerubbabel. It's perfectly legitimate. And what it means is the Hotiyas Evan Haroshah Teshuos Chain Law. It means that he will take off a headstone or a foundation stone from the peak of a mountain to cries of Chain Chain. You know, people used to scream out then, you know. And what would you scream today when you're in a cheer and a. What's a cheer? I mean, hooray! Okay. Today, so that the cheer at that time was chayn, chayn. I remember Leah Prigo, she always used to say chayn, chayn. Remember? She used to find something good, she used to say just word. And that's in Israeli terminology. Just say chayn, chayn. Means I'm charmed by this. It's a wonderful thing. What do you have as a translation of chayn?
Grace.
Okay. Okay, so all right, so he will remove the stone from that mountain that will be straightened out for him, to much to the cries of Chayn Chayn from the people. So the stone, that there was a big mountain that's been flattened before Zerubbabel, means that the Zechariah is being shown is that there are impediments standing before this plan. I'm going to remove these impediments. It's not going to come with ease. This is Parshat of Sefer Nechemya, that when the Persian king gave us permission to go and rebuild, this did not sit well with the Persian populace, who looked at us as a fifth column, only interested in Israel, right? And they caused a stop to this. It took about 10 or 15 years, depending on your history, and the one king who stopped it was Ahasuerus, correct? Ahasuerus is mentioned in Sefer Ezra. So put a stop to the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash. Beidbar Hashem Elai Lemor. So let's finish this off this prophecy. Yedei Zerubbabel yistu habayis hazeh v'yodov tevatzano. The hands of Zerubbabel shall give foundation, shall form this house. His hands, tevatzano, bet tzadik ayin, which means to finish off, to... Okay, there are other words for that, but lo yivtza Hashem es kol ma'asehu. Pasuk in Yeshayahu. means to finish, to complete something. Right? You know, this is only chapter 4, and he said this 7 times already. And you'll know that God sent me when these things happen. Right? Now, a difficult pasuk is coming up. Would you, Ava, would you help us with this pasuk? Yud, ki mi baz.
Yud?
Yeah. Zachari is difficult enough even when the Hebrew is easy. He's more difficult, of course, when the Hebrew is difficult.
How does this begin?
Kimi,
Kimi
Vaz.
Kimi Vaz. Okay. Kimi Vaz Leon Kitanot Vesamku. Vesamku Eta Evan Havdil Biyad Zubavel Shiva Ele. Ele Enai Hashem Hema.
Okay. So now we're talking about something of 7. So now you find many different mephoshims. Most mephoshims say that 7 are these 7 strands of the menorah. However, I think that is a mistake. It is weak because he's talking about the eyes that are, you know, looking out over the whole land. Right, to prepare the way for you, for your second commonwealth. Did we see 7 eyes already? Remember that?
There were some eyes.
Didn't we do? In your big Tanakh there, it's all on the same page. It's easier to find. But don't you remember the prophecy?
Nine. Okay.
Back in chapter 2?
In 2 or in 3?
In chapter 2, continuing to 3. And God says, I'll reside in your midst.
Yeah,
I will choose you, Yerushalayim. Right?
You have
those who touch Israel touches my eye.
Oh,
right.
Okay. And then in chapter 3, verse 9, after the prophet identifies this savior as Tzemach, he says, I see a stone, and in the stone are 7. Now some say sockets. Remember back then I told you I like to say that they're eyes. It's because of this prophet that I said that. Okay? These are eyes that are looking over the land. Like the Satan is Mishut Ba'aretz. Remember that? In Eov? There's a Satan in our story. Mishotetim B'chol Aretz. These are 7 eyes coming out of this stone. Now the 7 eyes could be the word Avdi Tzemach. Remember that?
No.
Or it could be, because he said before, Umashti et Avon Haaretz Hahi Biyom Echad. Umashti et Avon Haaretz Hahi Biyom Echad. Because the 7 eyes were giving a 7 word message of God erasing the sin of the people so that this second mikdash can get a start. Alright, but first we have to figure what is Miki Baz Liyom Ketanos. So, I think the simplest pshat. Let me just say Rashi's simple pshat. Targum's pshat is the other prophets refer to this day as Hayom HaGadol, the big day. And he's saying, why are you making a bizayon out of this to say it's just a small day? The 5 words, Kimi Baz Liyom Ketanos, Rashi says, is an indication that the people living at this time simply did not size up the momentous nature of these times. Zechariah is saying here, I'm telling you it's momentous, but be Baz Liyom Ketanos. You're just poo-poo. I have my business as usual. We got our lives to lead, right? Now we get back to the trees. Let's finish off the trees. Va'an va'omar elav. Mashne hazeishim ha'eva al yamin ha'menor va'al smola. So you can imagine that Zechariah has been dying to ask this question all night, right? What are those 2 trees? I mean, in fact, when I said that early on, I don't know what I'm seeing, God. What is this? You know, he never got an answer about the trees. Okay? So, va'an shenis va'omari love. Mashte shibale hazeshim asher biyad shnei tzantaros hazahav hamrikim me'aleim hazahav. I'm not even going to pretend to understand what this person is talking about. Okay? All I know from Pasuk Yud Aleph and Pasuk Yud Beis is that it's like Paro's dream. It's 2 things about the same thing. Something about 2 of something leading into these trees. Some have painted pictures
so
that it's
cows
2 trees.
Cows, 7
There's something like that, yeah. But everything is doubled, right? He dreams, everything happens twice. So Yosef dreams twice, and everyone dreams twice. So here he sees something, two different elements of oil being fed into these tubes to go into the menorah. And Vayomer Eli Lemor Haloyadata Ma'ileva Omar Lo Adoni. And again, the angel says, "Don't you know what this is? For goodness' sake, can't you figure this out already?" And he says, "No, I can't." And look how the prophecy ends, and they were totally in a new prophecy with Perikei. Pasuk Gedalet says, "Vayomer Eile Shnei Bnei Hayitzhar." For goodness sakes, you cannot get more clear in Tanakh than the concept, which is very rarely discussed in Tanakh. I'm sorry, in rabbinic literature, is the concept that there are two Mashiachs. Now, you know, it's very interesting because Christianity, as well as Judaism, has to deal with the very different picture that is drawn in Tanakh about the Messianic figure. He is poor in Zechariah, chapter 3, and he is glorious and wealthy in Daniel. Okay? He is rejected in some books, and he is immediately accepted in other books. So Christians claim that, you know, that one is the first coming and one is the second coming. Right? Jewish explanations of these discrepancies are very clear. One is Mashiach ben Yosef, and one is Mashiach ben David. Okay? So, Eile Shnei B'nei HaYitzhar, the two sons of oil. Now, Yitzhar comes from the same as Hebrew, and the Aramaic word is Moshcha. Yitzhar from the word Tzoharayim, Tzohar, Zohar, brightness, clear, Tzohar that Noah put in the Teva, right? So,
would that be like the anointing?
100%, yeah. I mean the word Moshcha.
Even on here, it says one from Babel and one from Yahushua.
That's the professor interpretation I have here. It's a simple pshat, is that it's Zerubbabel and it's Ibn Ezra's pshat, and it's a simple, clear, simple meaning of the pasuk that the two sons of oil are the two people who I'm charging with this message. But Ibn Ezra claims that Yahushua Kohen Gadol died shortly afterwards. I gave you the proofs of that last week. And I think we're going to have to stop with this.